The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We're hearing so much about Iran in the news at present, but you remember the story of the Irishman who was taken hostage in Iran by the state? Well, he's written a fascinating book about his time in Iran. Bernard Phelan has written, You Will Die in Prison, My Time as a State Hostage in Iran. Bernard, thank you very much for joining.
Thank you, Pat.
How scared were you that you were going to die in prison?
I thought I wouldn't survive. I wasn't in good health. And I was scared that my health would deteriorate. I knew the Iranians wouldn't physically hurt me because hostages are very important. They have to be good health. They're trade against getting whatever the Iranians want. And they have a shopping list. And they had a shopping list for French. That's why I got arrested.
Yeah. Tell us, what were you doing in Tehran and why did they arrest you?
I was arrested in Mashhad.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Which is the second city of Iran. It was my fifth time in Iran and I was working with an Iranian tour operator, helping him to develop tourism in Iran for foreigners. And this project is my fifth time and we were working on a project for the Silk Road by train. And I'd flown into Istanbul, travelled across Turkey by train. He met me at the border and we travelled around the north of Iran through Tehran to Mashhad.
Okay. And why did they arrest you?
I don't know. I mean, that evening, it was this day, the 3rd of October, 2022, at 5 o'clock in the evening, my pal had a big Canon camera and was taking photographs of the mosque, the sunlit mosque and the sun going down. And we're walking away from it and two guys walked up to us, plain clothes, and guy grabbed a card and flashed the card. And said, you know, this is your security, can you please step over here? And they were asking, you know, where are you from? I had my two passports, my Irish passport and my French passport. And then they asked for our phones. They went away. One of them went away, came back. The other guys came over and said, we need to talk about this more. Took us to someplace else. And we went on interrogating for about 3 or 4 hours, asking questions where we were, what we were doing in Iran, what I was doing in Iran. Where I'd been, where I met, had I seen any demonstrations.
They thought you were a spy, did they?
I don't know. I don't think they thought it was spies. I think they had a shopping list. And when they realised that I had a French passport and the visa was on the French passport, they sort of rubbed their hands and said, we've got another one.
Bit of leverage that they could do a negotiation with the French.
Exactly. And the same has happened with the Belgian hostage, Olivier Van de Castle, and the Swedish hostage. There was a prisoner in Iranian prisoner in Belgium. There's an Iranian prisoner in Sweden.
So they could do a swap.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're then brought. What charges were brought against you? Were you even able to work out what the charges were, given that you were given documents in Persian to sign?
Exactly. You know. So at the beginning, I didn't know what I was being accused of. It was only much, much later. I was arrested. So on the 3rd of October, it was in the new year, around February or March, when a first court appearance where my charges were read out. And I was accused of passing information to an enemy state. And I said to him, is France an enemy? And he said, not yet. And I was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. The judge said, because of your age and your health, we'll ask for a pardon. And 1 week later, I was brought back to the court, Revolutionary Court. And there the judge said, it's not 3.5 years, it's 6.5 years, and there's no pardon.
Okay. Well, how do you feel when you're told that?
Pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. I wouldn't have survived 6.5 years.
Why? What were the prison conditions like?
Conditions were, they weren't terrible, but it was, the bed was no mattress on it, just a metal frame, which had a rug thrown over to make up for a mattress, 24-hour lighting. I had 7 months with lighting all day and night, no curtain, noise. They had big fan machine in each of the prison cells, which made like a machine like a dishwasher on a cycle. So you couldn't really relax, and food was terrible. So we were able to make our own food. The prison food, I ate it, whenever I could, but mostly we made our own food. Which was very nice because there was a social side of cooking with the other prisoners. You get to
Did any of them have English?
Sorry?
Did any of them speak English?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a Turkish guy who was a drug dealer in for heroin. He had got 25 years in prison. Nasty guy, horrible guy. I was causing trouble with other prisoners. And then there was a very good, who became a very good friend, Taj. Taj is now 43. He was a political prisoner. He had been accused of being involved in terrorism, which is totally false because he was a Sunni Muslim. Because in Iran, you have the Shias and the Sunnis, and the Shias the majority. There was another prisoner in my block who had converted from Shia to Sunni, got 20 years in prison just for converting, like from Catholic to Protestant. It's crazy. And Taj spoke pretty good English, and he wanted me to teach him. So I was able to get books and helped him to improve his English. And then there was another prisoner, a Pakistani young man, Akram, and he came from the mountains in North Pakistan near Afghanistan. And he was supposed to be 20, but we think he was about 17 or 16. And we started to teach him English as well. And there was two Bahrainians guys, and one of them spoke English. They were drug smugglers.
At least you had somebody to talk to, though. Tell us though about as well the things that you had to worry about back home. First of all, your father back in Ireland, who I know you were telling me just off air, is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great age. He's 99, is it?
99 next month. And I was really worried because Taj lost his father when I was there. His father died. And of course, he wasn't allowed to go to the funeral or anything. And I was really worried that my dad wouldn't live to see me. I'd already lost a brother a number of years ago, Declan. And the idea for him of losing another son was just catastrophic. And I often used to think to myself in prison, would my sister tell me if my dad had died over the phone, if there was something wrong? I don't know. But the emotion of seeing my father or hugging my father first time was just fantastic.
And then there was the other thing, your husband in Paris. And I was fascinated to see Lara Marlowe writing about how when she interviewed him about you being detained, she described him as a close friend because he was afraid as to what Iran would do to you if they realised you were gay. But you actually were interrogated at one stage by somebody you regarded as a particularly odious individual who you straight up said that you were married to a man in France. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is I nicknamed, because they wouldn't give me any names, the interrogator, so I nicknamed them George and Henry. And George, reasonably good French, he said, you know, are you married? And I said, yes. Who are you married to? Roland Bonello. And he said, that's a man's name. Yes, in Europe, we can marry people of the same sex. Do you have any children? No. Did you not adopt children? Why not? All in the same breath. And at another conversation, he turned round to me and said, the LGBT lobby is very strong in Europe, isn't it? But Iran, I've been to Iran with Roland twice, and there was never any problem in hotels or for foreigners, it's not a problem. I mean, gay in Iran is just taboo. You get hung from a crane. You know, they treat gay people terribly. And I knew they wouldn't hurt me. And I felt, and I'm trying to persuade Rola and Caroline over the phone, tell people I am gay and I'm in prison in Iran. Because you can imagine, the Iranians are persecuting the women in 2022, 2023. So imagine the news coming up, we have a European gay in a prison in Iran. And I wanted them to say that. But they were all afraid of the repercussions would have on me in the prison.
I'm not going to give away the drama of how it is that you were managed to released, and also the fear that you had on your release that you would be retaken again until the plane left Iranian airspace, because it's all a great drama in the story. But how are you now after the experience? I mean, how does that change you when you're in your 60s?
I mean, I'm not the same person. I'm still on sick leave. I see a military psychiatrist specialist in PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I see her once a week. I'm better than I was when I came out. Things can make me crack up. We went to the cinema about a week ago and there's a not a very violent scene in the cinema. I just had to get up and walk out. Things, I don't read the newspaper, the war stories newspapers, I don't read that anymore. Listen to the radio. When I listen to radio, it's entertainment programs. I don't listen to the news. It just upsets me. And I have a whole different outlook on life. Now I want to do things, spend more time at Roland. I now have Labrador and, you know, good fun. I want to enjoy life. You know, if I can, you know, rather than sitting at the counter in a cafe, I'll go and sit out in the terrace in the sun and enjoy life.
And just a final one, which is more sort of news related, given what we've seen what's going on with Iran and Israel in recent days. What should we think of the Iranian people and the Iranian state which controls them? Given that you've been there on five occasions and you've had the type of experiences that very few foreigners have had.
Well, the Iranian people are fantastic. In the middle class Iranians are just like Europeans. And a number of occasions, Iranians have come up to me in Iran and said, or come up to Roland and myself and said, we don't like this government. We have no time for them. And some people would give out to me, and even in the prison, they came up to me and said, why did the French send Khomeini back in 79? Why did you do that? Because they were so upset. But the regime, there's just the hardliners and the struggle between different groups on how the future is going to roll out for them. I really don't know what's going to happen.
Fascinating story. You will die in prison, my time as a state hostage in Iran. Bernard Phelan, it's good to see you looking so well, given that I know people were very concerned about your health because of underlying issues during your time in prison. So great to see you back in Ireland.
Thanks, Matt.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.